when I was kind of questioning the Lord what I should speak on, this morning when I turned on the television and, you know, I went past some few religious programs and seemed like everybody was talking about heritage and talking about family and things like that, you know. And, you know, the title of my sermon today is called Children Are Our Future, okay? And in Galatians 4:19, it says, this was Paul talking to the Galatians. He said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And you know, it's kind of neat. Charlene is having a birthday today, and all of her children and her heritage is here today. And it's great to see you all. And I have, you know, just praise the Lord for you. And I thank you for your faithfulness to even come and want to honor your mother this way. She's a great lady, you know. And anyway, you know, if anybody could ever impart anything to you as you're growing up, if they teach you the knowledge of the Lord and show you his presence in any way, that's the greatest gift they could ever give you. It surpasses rubies, it surpasses money, it surpasses houses and lands and everything else. And, you know, I know as being a Christian and raised in a Christian family, I didn't start serving the Lord till I was about 21. But, you know, I had encounters with God up until then, different times. But I had a mother who loved the Lord, and, you know, I saw God in her continuously. Many a time I was sick and burning up with fever, and she'd come in, lay hands on me and pray for me, and the fever would break, and I'd go away, you know. And many a time, you know, I've told you all, she was very discerning spiritually. When me and Margaret were younger and were married, first married, you know how young couples do, they kind of fuss a little bit when they're trying to get their feet on the ground. And inevitably, if we were fussing with each other, Mother didn't live that close to us, but if we were fussing with each other, I'd get a phone call, and Mother would tell me, she'd say, son, I was in there praying. She said, and you and Margaret come up before me. What do you got? What's going on down there? I'd say, nothing, Mother. You know, lie, you know, because we'd be fussing or something. But, you know, so many times it's kind of amazing how that God places people in your lives, mothers, grandmothers, godly people, and how much that the Lord uses them. And I'm going to read you this little story. And this little story is called Grandma's Glasses. Says a young boy was overheard asking his playmate, wouldn't you hate to wear glasses all the time? No, came the answer. Not if I had some like Grandma's. She always seems to see people who are tired or sad, and she knows just what to do to make them feel better. One day I asked her how she could see that way all the time. She told me it was the way that she had learned to look at things as she grew older. After thinking for a minute, the first boy said, yeah, I guess you're right. It must be her glasses. And you know what? Thank God for wise grandmothers and wise mothers and the counsel. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're young, a lot of times when your parents and your grandparents talk to you, a lot of times you think, oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you what, the older you get, the more you realize how wise they are and how anointed even their counsel is to you. And, you know, we need to learn that, you know, our heritage in God didn't place us anywhere just by chance. You had the very parents, the very grandparents, and the people surrounding you who mentor you or whatever. God chose that before the foundation of the world. And he put you in that position to where those people could teach you. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but I can remember my mother and I worked at the same company before I was saved, and I'd drive to work with her every day. I actually drove her to work every day. And, You couldn't get around mother too long before she'd start talking about the Lord. Well, I wasn't a Christian. I hadn't committed my life to the Lord. And as she would talk to me, I'd slide over closer to the door and closer to the door, and I'd get real close to the door because I'd think, man, I wish she'd be quiet. I wish she'd quit saying that stuff. But you know what? God was using all that. He was using all that, and he was working on me. And a lot of times, if we think back at times when mom or dad or somebody said something to us as we were growing up, and we think, boy, I wish they wouldn't say that stuff to me. And she'd always tell me, she'd say, son, don't get too entangled with the world, because someday God's going to require things of you. And a man, I used to hate when she'd say that. I'd think, ah. But you know what? She was right. She was absolutely right. And anyway, I just want you to know that so many times in our life, our heritage, you know, children are our heritage. All of you all are Charlene's heritage. All of y'all sitting here, you're the heritage of the Lord. You know, when you were born again, you were born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And you became a new creation. And any of you that don't know the Lord, I would advise you even today to come forward at the end of this service and we'll introduce you to him. If you haven't already felt his presence or you don't already know him. But I'm going to tell you, you know, so many times, you know, we've received prophecies in times past. We've received all these different things. We've received words of God. And sometimes we've thought, well, Lord, when is that stuff ever going to happen? When is it ever going to happen? And you know what? It'll happen in his time, in his way, because he's in control. You know, I had the honor of a week ago, of taking part in Lily's graduation service, I'm going to call it, because she didn't die. She just stepped from this life into life eternal, you know, and she stepped right over into the presence of God. And, you know, I was just thinking about even with her, and so many of you all have in years past have come to this church and you've sat under teaching, you've sat under different ministries and different things like that. And I was a pretty fairly young Christian. I got saved when I was 21. And I think Lily came to church probably about 1973 or somewhere around there. I'd been a Christian for a couple years. And she had this thing called discipleship classes. And, you know, they announced them, and me and Margaret went to them, and some of the other people, you know, and there was quite a few people in there. And, you know, I'd had visitations of God when I was a young teenage boy. I hadn't given my life to the Lord, but I'd had visitations of him. And he had shown me, when I was about 14 years old or 15, he had showed me in a vision standing up behind a pulpit like this. Well, as far as I was concerned, that was the farthest thing in the world from what I ever wanted to do. And, you know, but God has a way of getting you to where he wants you to be, whether you want to be there or not. And you know, anyway, you know, I went through these discipleship classes, and I shared this at her graduation ceremony, I'll call it, or her, because we rejoiced. I mean, it was a good time. There was dancing, there was singing, there was a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, it wasn't a sad time. It was a fun time, you know. And, you know, I shared this. I said, you know, she fulfilled Matthew 25 about as good as you could fulfill it. I mean, she basically fed the poor. She taught the poor. She did. She helped young people. She did all kind of things. I mean, she had every facet of ministry over the years that I knew her that just about you could have, you know. And anyway, when we went through these discipleship classes, she was talking about that she was doing prison ministry. And, you know, she said that she had went to visit this lady in prison, and that she had asked the lady, she said, why are you in prison? You know, why are you here? And the lady said, well, I stole shoes. I tried to steal shoes from my kids. They didn't have no shoes. And she said, my first reaction was, I thought, I don't know, you know, is she just telling me that or what? And then she said, I asked her where she lived, and she gave me her address. And she said, I went to her house, and she had all these little kids, a whole bunch of little kids, and none of them had shoes. And she said, now how could I go back and talk to that woman about the love of God if I wasn't willing to buy all those kids a pair of shoes. And she said, I went and bought them all a pair of shoes. And I went back and talked to her and told them, your kids got shoes now. But anyway, we went through the Beatitudes, and I shared this, but we went through the Beatitudes, and each person was to take one of the Beatitudes, and they were to get up in front of the church after the discipleship class was over with, and it took weeks and weeks we were in that, and they were to get up and share one of the Beatitudes. Well, she came to me, and she said, Brother Oscar, I want you to sum it up and share them all when they're done. And I mean, I was kind of a backward person, and I'm thinking, oh, man, what's she asking me to do? You know, I don't get one. I get all of them. I'm thinking, oh, man. But, you know, I shared that. And she came up to me afterwards, and she said, Brother Oscar, she said, you should be teaching and preaching more. She said, God's presence is on you. His anointing's on you, you know, that kind of thing. And, I knew that. I mean, because God had already visited me when I was a kid. But you know what? I wasn't ready for that at that point. And I'm going to say this to some of you all. You know, God might have given you some promises, and he might have said some things to you when you were younger, and you haven't seen them come to pass yet. But I'm going to tell you what, get willing to do what God tells you to do. Get willing. And when you get willing, all of a sudden you'll find that doors will start opening up to you, places of ministry that maybe you never have stepped into before will start opening up to you. You know, a little bit after she said that, it wasn't too long, then I was anointed as an elder in the church. Brother Eddie come and asked me to speak, you know. And, you know, I've said this before, I never ever once told Brother Eddie that I wanted to speak in all the years that I spoke at church back years ago when he was still being the pastor of the church. And, you know, if he came and said, Brother Oscar, will you share next Sunday? Have you got something you'll share next Sunday? Usually I didn't have anything most of the time. And then I would pray and I'd say, Lord, you know, if you want me to do this, you have to give me something. And you know what? Every time he gave me something. And I remember, and I've told this story a while back in a sermon, but I remember one time the Lord spoke the word Anak to me when I was sitting out in the auditorium. And I'm sitting out there, and that word Anak came to me. And I didn't even know who Anak was. I had no idea. And I wrote the name down and stuck it in my Bible. And then later on, it was probably, it might have been 6, 7, 8 months later. I had the flu, and I was sick. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to get my Bible out and to study. And you know what? Times, even when you feel the least that you don't want to do what God wants you to do, that's the times when he'll really minister to you if you'll be obedient and do what he tells you. Well, I got my Bible out, and I got my Strong's Concordance, and I looked up Anak, and I went back and found it in Numbers, the 13th chapter. And what I found back there when I got into that was that Anak was the father of all the giants in the land. You know, when they went over to spy out the land in the Old Testament, before they went into the Promised Land, they went over to spy it out. They saw, ten of them came back with a bad report, and two came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. And the ten said, oh my goodness, there's all these giants over there, and they're just, you know, huge. We can't do anything with them. He said, we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in theirs. That's a strange statement to make. But a lot of times the way you view yourself, that's what you'll be. If you view yourself as not being able to do anything or not being able to do what God asks you to do, guess what? You won't be able to unless you begin to start confessing what his word declares. Caleb came back and he said, hey, he said, we're well able to go over and take the land. And Caleb said, they'll be bread for us. And I'm going to tell you what, the adversity, the bad things, the giant things that come into your life sometimes, they'll be the very bread that will cause you to grow if you'll trust God and if you'll look to him and just believe that he's going to meet you in those needs. Well, They didn't go out. They didn't go over and take the land. And they grumbled and carried on. Well, then they decided to go, and God told them not to go now because they had missed their opportunity, you know. And, you know, Joshua and Caleb were both there, and Caleb did all the talking. And I wondered why Joshua didn't do too much talking there in the scriptures. Joshua didn't say anything. And Joshua's name means God the Savior. So in type and shadow, God the Savior was standing right there with Caleb as he said everything he said. And when God sends you forth, and as you being a heritage here of God, all of you, as he sends you forth, he goes right along with you. Because he, guess what? He dwells inside of you. Because know you not that you're the temple of God. And, you know, I got another little story I'm going to read you here. And this one is, it says, the mother of an ancient Greek philosopher, Socrates, she was a midwife. So Socrates grew up observing that she assisted women in bringing new life into the world. This experience later influenced his teaching method. Socrates said, my art of midwifery is in general like theirs, only different in that my patients are men, not women, and my calling is not to the body, but to the soul, and that is to travail them into birth. Instead of just passing information on to his students, Socrates sometimes gave them examples and asked them questions. And the questions that he asked them a lot of times were painful questions that they would arrive at their own conclusions, teaching them to think and when they thought to travail in birth into a higher realm. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. And a lot of times God allows you to get into awkward positions, to positions where where you don't win, where you lose, where you know you would have been the best one for the job or whatever it is. He allows you to get in those positions, and what he allows you to do is to learn through them. And you know, we have to learn that God is, he's causing us to grow up into the image and likeness of his son. That's his whole purpose in what he's doing. You know, I like that there's a scripture in Galatians 4 which says, my little children, I travail in birth until Christ is formed in you. You know, that's a scripture I started out with. And you know what? That's the whole purpose that God wants to do. He wants his presence to be formed inside of you. He wants you to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And, you know, I'm going to say this to you. There's probably some of you all that sitting out here that know the Lord. There's might be some of you that don't know the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what. Once you come to know him, it's the greatest thing that you'll ever do. And your life will never be the same. And then you wonder sometimes, why did I hold off? Why did I hold off as long as I did? But, you know, like I say, I know with me, it took me years after the first experiences I ever had with the Lord to give my life to the Lord. But, you know, once I did, I was just so, it just changed everything. And it was such a wonderful thing and wonderful experience. And you know, today when you all have come here to celebrate Charlene, the family here, I want you to know that God has placed her in your life as an example, and she's been a great example. Me and Margaret were talking the other day. I don't hardly think I've ever seen Charlene down too much. She's almost always happy and joyous, even if she's feeling bad. And, I mean, I've known her for over 40-something years, and I just have never seen her really down. And she's come in here many, many times asking prayer for every one of you all. And you know what? We've prayed for every one of you all at one time or another. And I'm going to tell you, she comes back a lot of times and says, oh, God did this or God did that. And you know, he answers those prayers. And I just want you all to know that today no matter where you're at or what's going on in your life, you know, you can make a commitment if you haven't made it. And I don't know, maybe everybody in here has made a commitment to the Lord. I don't know. I don't know why the Lord's having me say this. But if you haven't, today can be the first day or even a recommitment. Maybe you're allowing other things to take the place of the Lord. Maybe it's fun times or running here or running there or doing this or doing that. And I mean, we all get tied up in those things. And I'll tell you what, I know after I first got saved and the Lord began to really deal in my life, I began to start playing softball. My brother-in-law said, "Hey, how about playing softball?" Before long, they wanted to play softball on Sunday, you know. And, you know, I found myself missing church and stuff like that, playing softball on Sunday. I'd go out there and play softball, and I'd be absolutely miserable while I was out there because I'd think, man, what am I doing here, you know. And, I mean, we had some pretty good softball teams. We won some championships and things like that. But I tell you what, don't let other things hinder you from the things of God. You know, I had to go along there and have a motorcycle wreck and get a compound fracture on my ankle, get laid up in the hospital. And this was after I was already saved. And I hadn't been coming to church for a while. And I didn't tell them that Brother Eddie was my pastor, but Margaret did or somebody did. And Brother Eddie showed up at the hospital. And that stirred my heart and made me decide to get back into church and quit playing softball and quit doing the things. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I was putting that ahead of God. And if you find yourself putting things ahead of God, I'm going to tell you what, you'll never find peace, you'll never find happiness, you'll never find contentment in those things. The only way you're ever going to find peace and contentment, it's not through possessing things or going out and doing fun things all the time, because you'll find those fun things aren't that fun. And I remember right after we had won a championship in softball, and we played really good, and we'd won this championship. Guy lived across the street from the baseball field, and he said, "Well, we're all going to go over to my house." And I went over there, and the guys I was playing with weren't Christians, you know. And they was drinking and stuff and carrying on. I went out and sat on the porch and just sat out there. And I thought, what in the world am I doing here? What am I doing here? I don't belong here. Not that I didn't love those guys and care about them, because I did. But I thought, what in the world am I doing? And I'm going to tell you what. Don't be among the people that are going to look back years later and say, "Oh, God, I know you were calling me to do this. I know you were calling me to do that. But I put these other things in front of you." Because I tell you what, those other things are fleeting. And you know what? I can't play softball no more, and I have no desire to play softball. I go and watch the grandkids play all the time, baseball. But I tell you what, don't allow other things to get in the place of the Lord. If you all stand, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And like I say, I didn't even plan on saying a lot of things I said here today. So whatever the Lord does with it, that's what he does with it. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, we come into your presence right now. We just thank you, Father, that you are our Father. We can say, Abba, Father, my very own Father. And Lord, if any of us here have not committed ourselves to you totally, or we've drawn back from commitments or whatever, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name by your Holy Spirit to just draw whoever is here today that doesn't know you. And Father, the altar's open, and we'll be glad to pray with anybody if they need prayer for anything. It doesn't make any difference whether it's a commitment or if it's for an ailment or whatever. Father, we know your presence is here, and in your presence there's fullness of joy. And Father, I just ask you to begin to just move and have your way. And Father, we'll give you all praise and all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. And Charlene, I don't believe you look like 80.